It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk, a special almost Thanksgiving Day edition of the podcast here. Adam Pfeiffer with you as always. And here on, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday, whenever you're listening to this, probably going to have this up on Tuesday night. We're going to We're going to preview the Thanksgiving Day slate, the three-game slate for Thanksgiving. It is going to be... It's going to be football. Yeah, I mean, there's that. Obviously not the most appealing games, especially with some injuries. We'll break it all down. From a DFS perspective, a lot of people are going to be playing that slate. A lot of people think this is the best slate of the year for DFS, and you know it's definitely fun. It's not personally, it's not my favorite, but it's obviously a lot of fun. So we'll break everything down here on the podcast. For about the next 25 to 30 minutes. Again, there's not going to be a ton, and we're recording this Tuesday night, so we might be missing some injury news. But short week, and it's going to be tough for some of these players that are hurt or got hurt to suit up here. So we'll get started on that real quick. Have to remind everybody about the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer package. Again, if you're playing this Thanksgiving Day slate, Kyle Murray running the optimizer. He has his show, The Optimal. The optimizer is unbelievable, but it's not just for NFL. It's for all sports, right? All four major sports, NFL, NBA, PGA, MLB. You can get the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer package starting at just $49.99 per month. Again, comes with all four sports optimizers, player and roster percentage projections for just one low price. Build your bankroll with the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer, and you can get 15% off for every month. So it's not just that's every month you get 15% off using the code FTNTV. Again, 15% off every single month using the code FTNTV. That is for the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer package. All right, let's get to the Thanksgiving Day slate, starting with an absolute gem. Sarcasm. Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff did not play on Sunday. It was Tim Boyle who threw for 77 yards. Good for Tim Boyle. But it looks like Goff has a chance to play. Limited in practice. It sounds like Dan Campbell's leaving the possibility open that Goff is back, which doesn't do much for this game because I don't think a lot of people, even on a three-game slate, are going to have a lot of interest in the Detroit Lions. I mean, it's Andy Dalton versus Jared Goff. We got word that Dalton's going to start after Fields suffered a rib injury on Sunday. I guess we'll start with the Lions here. I mean, DeAndre Swift coming off back-to-back games where he set a career high in rushing yards. Clearly, I mean, Dan Campbell's called plays each of the last 2 weeks for the Lions, and they've been very run-heavy, right? I mean, the 14 attempts were obviously down for Swift, but they weren't in a five-overtime game, and they were trailing in this game. But he's been great, and this Lions offensive line, when they're healthy, quietly really good unit. So I think Swift's fine. He's not my favorite play on the slate by any means. But if I'm not playing Swift, it's... I think one of the receivers are interesting. Josh Reynolds made his Lions debut last game, led the team in snaps and routes. He played 90% of the snaps, led the team in pass routes. Like, he was not eased in his first game by any means, like, at all. And they clearly have a need at receiver, right? You know, and if Jared Goff's at quarterback, these two obviously have history during their time together with the Rams. So I think Josh Reynolds could be interesting. The concern I have is he played out wide around 95% of the time last week, whereas Amon-Ra St. Brown was in the slot over 90% of the time. I think the slot is a little bit more favorable of a matchup here for a receiver because this Bears secondary is not good outside of Jalen Johnson. So I think Josh Reynolds probably has a better chance of seeing coverage from Jalen Johnson this game, but he's literally minimum price. So it's like it really doesn't even matter that much. Like Hockenson is going to get all the targets. You know, if Goff throws 35 passes in this game, you think, I don't know, 15 to 20 of them go to Swift and Hockenson. So like they're fine, but there's really not a huge ceiling with TJ Hockenson. I think I'm a little bit more interested in those cheap receivers. Amon-Ra St. Brown out of the slot here, and Josh Reynolds at 3K, hopefully with Jared Goff back under center for the Detroit Lions. I want to look at our advanced DVP tool, which you can check out at ftnfantasy.com. Let's see what the Bears rank against slot receivers this year. So about 7.8 targets per game is bottom 12 in the league, or top 12, however you want to view it. They allow 5.8 receptions per game to the slot. That is the sixth most in the NFL. They allow a league-leading 87.7 yards per game to slot receivers and 16.4 fantasy points per game to the slot. That's the fourth most in the NFL. So quietly, and actually a pretty decent spot for Amon-Ra St. Brown out of the slot. So maybe consider Amon-Ra here, but I think both are in play if you're looking to spend up elsewhere. Because outside of Stephon Diggs, there's not a pay-up receiver on this slate. It's very interesting. Very interesting. Assuming CeeDee Lamb doesn't play, we'll get to that game in a minute. For the Bears side, again, like I said, Andy Dalton will start. Not interested in Andy Dalton. I feel like if you're playing a quarterback on this slate, you just go to Dak or you go to Josh Allen. It's otherwise, you're left with Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr would be the one I would look at elsewhere. But like other than that, you're left with Trevor Siemian, Andy Dalton, and Jared Goff. I think Dave Montgomery at 6K is interesting. I liked him a lot last game, but the production wasn't there. But he, in the two games since he's been back, has been handling 80%+ of the running back carries. Like, it hasn't been like a split backfield between him and Khalil Herbert. He's played like 80%+ of the snaps in back-to-back games. So at 6K against a bad Lions defense, I think he's absolutely in play as a favorite in this game. And then there's the pass catchers, right? Allen Robinson didn't practice all last week with a hamstring. He was, I don't think he practiced Tuesday. So looking very, very doubtful to play in this game, which means Darnell Mooney, who coming off a game where he had a career high 16 targets, only caught five of them, but he took a screen 60 yards of the house, ultimately finished with 121 yards and a touchdown. Deeper and I talked about this on the waiver wire episode today. Like, this is a good matchup for Darnell Mooney and Marquise Goodwin. The Lions, bottom five passing defense, bottom five defense against a deep ball. They allow the second highest average depth of target in the NFL. That bodes extremely well for Darnell Mooney, who I think is, it's tough to get to him at 5,700, to be perfectly honest, but like in a vacuum, he sets up really well here, obviously. 5.6% passing touchdown rate allowed by the Lions is also the fifth highest mark in the NFL. Marquise Goodwin caught four passes, 104 yards. He had a long touchdown last week, 49 yards. He had eight targets. I mean, if Robinson's out, which I expect him probably to be out, Marquise Goodwin, speed for days, bad secondary, indoors, that gives up a ton of big passing plays. You could do a lot worse than Marquise Goodwin. And then Cole Kmet, like I liked him a lot last week too, just the involvement was bad. He had at least five targets in four straight games prior to last week, and he only gets targeted twice against Baltimore. Jimmy Graham actually out-targeted Cole Kmet in that game. This is a slate where you can play multiple tight ends on a three-game slate that's not exactly loaded. It does set up well for like a two tight end, you know, a tight end and a flex build. And like we just lost Troutman from New Orleans, but like maybe you feel better about Juwan Johnson. But I don't know. For me, the interest is mostly Montgomery and then Mooney and Goodwin, assuming Allen Robinson does not play. Let's move on to probably the most appealing game for fantasy of this slate, the Vegas Raiders going to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. So we know Amari Cooper's not going to play. Tested positive for COVID. He's out. CeeDee Lamb had that concussion, estimated as a non-participant Monday and Tuesday, but he's been like in meetings and everything, which is kind of encouraging, and I think, what was it, Stephen Jones said that he definitely has a chance to play. It's going to be tough, but like you can't rule CeeDee Lamb out yet. If he plays, he's an elite play. Absolutely elite play. Vegas has been a little bit strong against receivers this year, but like that's coming back down to earth a little bit the last 2 weeks, so I'm not overly concerned about the matchup. Plus, with Amari Cooper out, he's going to get 8 to 12 targets. Gallup's in play either way, right? He had 10 targets last game. We know he's got downfield ability. talented player. So Gallup's in play regardless. If Lamb sits, Gallup becomes an elite play. And then you can talk about Cedric Wilson, who had 7 targets last game. Maybe take a shot on Noah Brown, who they usually use as a blocking receiver, but in 3 wide sets, he would be the next man up. So at 3K, Noah Brown would be in consideration. And then Dalton Schultz would become the best tight end play of the slate. Pretty easily. Like, I understand Knox is on the slate, but I guess Waller's on the slate too. I don't know, man. Like, for $1,100 difference, like, Schultz with all these guys out, 8 targets last game, he's going to catch a high percentage of them. Like, I would feel so good about Dalton Schultz if Lamb's out, and he's still absolutely in play if Lamb is in. But for me, I think a lot of people are just going to focus on the pass catchers being out, but, like, Zeke's been underwhelming the last couple weeks. I get it. He has not been good. The touchdown saved him against Atlanta, but the yards per carry last couple weeks has been bad. The volume has been there, but 2 of those games were blowouts. And then last week, you know, Dallas, you know, kind of abandoned the run, and Zeke missed a couple plays or drives with injury. But he was listed as full participant in practice on Tuesday, which is a good sign. 8K. Where else do you go running back on this slate? That's my question. Like, you have Swift and Montgomery. Zeke definitely projects better and safer. And for me, it's like, okay, if they're without Amari Cooper and possibly CeeDee Lamb, they might just give Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott a combined, like, 30 touches in this game, 35 touches in this game. And it's a good matchup, right? We just saw Joe Mixon go for 120 yards and a pair of touchdowns against this Raiders team last week. The Raiders are allowing opponents to score touchdowns on 76.2% of their trips in the red zone this year. That's the second worst rate in the NFL. And I think we see more targets for these guys, right? So Zeke is obviously a great play. I actually wouldn't hate Tony Pollard. Yes, Zeke's in. I get it. But Pollard's going to get 8 to 10 carries. And what if there's been a lot of games this year where they line up Pollard in the slot or, like, in motion while Zeke's in the backfield. With Cooper and Lamb potentially out and Dallas now losing 2 of their last 3 games, they might just play Pollard a lot on offense, and just he could catch 6-7 balls in this game. Like, would you be shocked if he had a similar usage to what he had in the Atlanta game? 11 carries and 6 catches? Because I wouldn't. So I think Pollard is actually pretty interesting in tournaments as well. And then Dak, you feel better about him, obviously, if CeeDee Lamb is in. But at home, the Raiders matchup doesn't scare you. Again, it's pretty clear the quarterbacks are Dak and Josh Allen. But, I mean, Dak is, you know, $900 less than Josh Allen, and he's at home against a worse defense. So, Dak's obviously a really strong option, too. But, again, better if CeeDee Lamb plays. For Vegas, their offense has been really bad the last couple weeks. I think they're averaging, like, just over 14 points per game over the last 3. Like, Darren Waller, Dallas has struggled against tight ends this year, and it was good to see Waller bounce back last game, caught 7 of 8 targets for 116 yards. I think he had, like, 3 or 4 different plays where he went for, where he had, like, a 20-plus yard gain. So that's encouraging. Waller, if you're paying up a tight end, it's clear where you're going. You know, Waller's got the ceiling. He's been so close to scoring touchdowns, too. So I think he's going to start scoring touchdowns again. He only has 2 on the season. I'm expecting him to get in the end zone. He's been very close the last handful of weeks. Then the receivers. I mean, Hunter Renfro, 5,600 coming off a dud. It was his first game all year. I believe not his first game all year, but it's only his second game all year with that he failed to get 5 catches in a game. And his first game all year with less than 5 targets in a game. So a strange game. I talked about it, though. That Raiders game, they couldn't stay on the field. They were, like, 1 of 8 on third downs against the Bengals. And the Bengals' time possession was, like, 37 minutes, and the Raiders was at, like, 22 or 23 minutes. Like, they just didn't have a lot of plays in this game. So that should change here. Renfro out of the slot around 70% of the time, getting a decent amount of end zone targets. I think he's fine. I mean, Bryan Edwards, like, you would think he would be involved, but wasn't even targeted last game. I feel better about the other receivers I mentioned, like Goodwin and maybe even the Lions receivers. So I'm not really on Bryan Edwards. I'd rather play Cedric Wilson in the same game as well. So, and then Derek Carr, I mean, if you're not playing Allen or Dak, you're probably playing Derek Carr, hoping the Raiders trail and have to throw in this game, which is entirely possible. So he's fine. You can pair him with Waller, but It's just tough not to go to Allen or Dak here. And I'm not really on Josh Jacobs at 5,900. You know, he caught five passes last game. He actually has five catches in each of his last two. And at least, I mean, look at quietly Josh Jacobs. The carries have been great. But the last four games, Josh Jacobs has hauled in 17 passes. So there is that. But he hasn't scored much. I mean, he's not a bad play, but I'd rather play Montgomery for $100 more pretty easily. So, all right, last game of the Thanksgiving Day slate, Buffalo to New Orleans, who are just completely banged up. Alvin Kamara has not played the last 2 weeks with a knee injury, was listed as non-participant on Monday and Tuesday. So he very well could sit again. Mark Ingram added to the injury report with a knee injury of his own. He didn't practice on Tuesday or Monday. So we might have Tony Jones as a lead back for the New Orleans Saints at 4K. No, like, the Bills' run defense isn't as bad as they were last week, obviously. They were without Star Lotulelei and Tremaine Edmonds. Looks like Edmonds will be back. I'm not sure about Star. But, it, the Jonathan Taylor game, A, Jonathan Taylor is arguably the best running back in the NFL. B, the Colts passing or the Colts run blocking unit is arguably the best in the NFL. The Saints can run block, but Tony Jones isn't Jonathan Taylor, so obviously not expecting that type of production. But if Kamara and Ingram are both out, like, Tony Jones is going to have to get some work. They'll probably mix in, Dwayne Washington as well. Both are 4K. I would expect Tony Jones to get the majority of work because he was operating as the backup to Kamara earlier in the season before suffering his injury. So obviously something to keep an eye on. And now Adam Trautman is on IR. So do they continue to limit the routes for Juwan Johnson, or does he become more of a full-time player? Because if he does, there's a lot of ceiling there, right? Ton of ceiling at 2,600. They've used him in the red zone a lot this season. They're obviously super shorthanded on offense, especially at receiver. Or is it just Nick Vinette soaks up all the routes and snaps that Trautman had been getting? Because Trautman had been run blocking a ton earlier in the season, and I tweeted it and wrote about it before week 11. The first, like, 6-7 weeks of the season, he was averaging, like, 17 routes run per game, but the last handful, like, the last three or four, it was upwards to 30 per game. So if Nick Vinette gets that, yeah, 2,500 on a slate like this, he would be in play. But I think you can take shots on both. Like, Juwan Johnson, if his routes go up, I mean, he could score twice in this game and really separate himself at that tight end position. As for receivers, I mean, the Bills just shut down wide receivers, so, like, it's hard to get excited about Callaway, Traquan Smith, Deontay Harris, who has, playmaking explosive ability, but his snaps are just nowhere near Traquan or Marquez Callaway's each game. So not really on them, and I'm not on Trevor Siemian. For Buffalo, I mean, coming off an awful game, I like the spot for Beasley. The Saints have been bottom five against the slot this season, too. But, man, like, this rib injury has to be limiting him. And it's been back-to-back blowouts, so that definitely plays a role. But even early in the game, I saw a lot of Gabriel Davis. So, like, if I knew Cole Beasley was 100%, I don't think he is, I would have interest at 4,500. I don't expect the Bills to be able to run the football in this game against the Saints. They can't run the football against anybody. They can run the football against two teams, the Jets and Dolphins, which 90% of the league can also do that. So do I expect them to be able to run the football against the Saints in New Orleans? No, I don't. So we're probably going to see a lot of passing attempts for Josh Allen, who, yes, he's going to be fine. He's still really good in fantasy. You can play him. You can pair him with Diggs, obviously, who will see Lattimore, but I'm not worried about that matchup, especially for a player of Diggs' caliber. The question is, do you go another way with the pass catchers? And if you do, it's probably Dawson Knox. 4,400, played a ton of snaps, ran a ton of routes last game, caught 6 of 10 targets for 80 yards, has that connection and rapport with Josh Allen. Saints have been good against tight ends, but it doesn't matter on a slate like this. Knox obviously has massive touchdown upside. And then, like, even if you wanted to play a running back for the Bills, Matt Breida's been active each of the last two games. Matt Breida's been out producing to an extent, Singletary and Zach Moss in back-to-back games. He gives them so much more explosiveness and ability to break long runs. So I think he's going to continue to be active, and that's going to make you not able to even trust. Like, it was difficult not to trust Singletary and Moss when it was just those two, but now with Breida mixing in, getting 5 to 8 touches or whatever he's getting, it's impossible to play these running backs. So it's really, Josh Allen and Diggs – you can take a shot on Sanders or Beasley, hoping Beasley plays a full allotment of snaps in what hopefully is a closer game, because the Saints, that's where you can definitely attack them. It's the slot. But I just, he's just not 100%, and I can't fully guarantee that the snaps are going to be there. And Emmanuel Sanders has completely fallen off. He's still getting occasional deep targets, and you know, he's still top 10 in deep targets, so there's upside there, but you know, we're seeing this. I mean, it's a copycat league, right? A lot of cover two shell defense against the Buffalo Bills, and Josh Allen is going to have to just be patient and take what they give him until they start to creep the safeties up, and then you take your shots down the field to Gabriel Davis and Emmanuel Sanders and Stephon Diggs. So we'll see what happens in New Orleans. Again, Saints super banged up right now. I'd be pretty surprised if Kamara plays. If he somehow does play, I mean, sure, you can play him, but I don't think he's going to play. I really don't. So I think that'll just about do it for the Thanksgiving Day slate. Nice little 20-25 minute podcast. We'll have another pod on Wednesday doing a Dynasty trade edition of Fade the Chalk. And then Friday, I believe, I'll have the rest of the week game by game for DFS, the remaining 10 games on the main slate on Sunday. Obviously, no pod Thursday for the holiday. Hopefully, everybody has a great holiday. Again, spend time with your family, be safe, enjoy some football, some fantasy, and of course, check out FTN Daily. And also, what you can do on Thursday, go to Top Prop Fantasy's Battleground. Really fun way to play daily fantasy. And it's super easy, right? You choose a player that you think is going to score more fantasy points than another player. It's that simple. It really is. And unlike other DFS platforms where you're playing against thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, you're playing one-on-one against another user. It's just mano-a-mano. Top Prop is offering an exclusive deal for FTN listeners. Use the promo code FTN50 at topropfantasy.com for $50 in risk-free contest today. Act fast as promo expires soon. Again, that's promo code FTN50 at topropfantasy.com for $50 in risk-free player-versus-player contests today. Thanks for listening, as always. Hopefully, Thanksgiving slate goes well for you, and hopefully, most importantly, you guys have a great holiday. Appreciate all the support all year long on the podcast and everything like that, and we'll be back on Wednesday and Friday here on Fade the Chalk, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. For everybody, my name is Adam Pfeiffer. Appreciate it. Have a great holiday. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.